I'm Leslie Cornwell, certified nurse midwife with Midwifery Business Consultation. I have one of my good friends, Christine Strother. She's a certified professional midwife in North Carolina, and we've connected a few months ago. She has an amazing nonprofit called Birth Junkies. She just reached out and asked if I'd be open to doing a conference down there, a business conference. We get to have a great business conference October 23rd in Charlotte, North Carolina. And we just wanted to get a good sense of, I love everybody's midwifery journeys. I love everybody's stories of where they go and just inspiring. She does home birth. She runs a birth junkie nonprofit where they do continuing ed for midwives. She wears many hats. I mean, being a mom and all these other roles we play. So Christine, if you could tell us a little bit about yourself and we'll get started.
Great, great. So I have the usual windy, twisty midwifery journey. I actually, many years ago when my kids were little, I was a labor and delivery nurse. So I, of course, started down that road. And then pretty soon decided I really wanted to do out of hospital birth. I had done plenty of hospital births. I really wanted to kind of do that. So I went to CPM school, became a CPM in 2009. Went in with a group of midwives, CPMs actually in South Carolina. We opened a birth center, which was really successful. We had that for 7 years. And while I was there, one of the midwives that we hired, Lori Gibson, her and I started doing a lot of educational things. We did the childbirth education for the, you know, the clients at the birth center, and then also had a lot of trainings and so forth for midwives and other birth workers. We would host neonatal resuscitation and BEST and all those things. And we really loved doing that. So then when we closed the birth center, we wanted to keep doing those educational things. So that really expanded into Carolina Birth Junkies. So, and now that's really grown. We started off doing a midwifery retreat, and we called it midwife summer camp. And it really evolved from that, which was so fun and so needed. And to now we do this big conference every year. Actually, this year in August, it's going to be the MANA regional conference. Oh, cool. Because last year, some of the MANA folks came to our Birth Junkies retreat and were like, hey, this is great. Will you do the MANA conference next year? So that's been great. So it's a 4-day conference now. And we also do monthly educational workshops, whether they are something like, we have speakers come in. Sarah Buckley has come and talked. We hosted Breach Without Borders. And also we do some half-day skills workshops. So I'll teach a workshop about shoulder dystocia and estimated blood loss and, you know, IV starts and suturing and all that stuff. So we do all those, and we try to do one every month, which is really great. So people get all the CEUs you could want. They're all, we do lots of accredited CEUs. So they'll get approval through MEEK or through ACNM or whatever. So that's kind of been our journey. It's taken not that long really to make it into really a pretty big production as far as education. Yeah.
So I think it's neat because you and I are very similar. Like we're midwifing the midwives. Like we want to, where are the barriers? Like a lot of people be like, I don't start an IV very often. I want some hands-on skills, or the students want extra practice, or peer reviews, like getting a central, some people are taking the initiative on their own, but to have a central place where the midwives are crazy busy. So it's like, how do we support them? Like what I did with my practice was similar style, is we did like birth assistant conferences and we did trainings and skills, because you saw the need, not just for your practice, but all the other practices had the same problem. So why are we all reworking it? So I think it's amazing. I'm very excited about our business conference we're doing October 23rd. And just trying to figure out, like it sounds like you get a lot of feedback. People in the evaluations are like, okay, this is what I want to see. And you work really hard to create customized content for people.
Yeah, we really do. And that's been a great thing of how it's evolved, was people say, hey, you know what we really should do? We really want this training. And one that comes up every time is business stuff, because, you know, midwives are great midwives and they're great at caring for people. And as a rule, not the best at making it a career and making it successful financially. And it holds people back, you know, because how often do you hear a midwife being like, oh, I'd love to do midwifery full time, but I can't afford it. Like I'm the primary breadwinner, or, you know, whatever their situation is, or I'm a single mom. And they just are not good at the money thing. You know, they'll always say that, I'm not good at the money thing about midwifery. Like, I love doing births. And, you know, I had a friend who was like, oh, I would love to do births for just a barter. Like, I'll deliver your baby. Just give me like 4 chickens and a goat. And I'm like, simplified. You know, but we don't live in that world. Most of us, some of us might, but
yeah, if you take care of the Amish and Mennonites, it's a little easier to barter. Oh, the things I got from those stories. But, I think it's important because, like, and that's why I started the company Midwifery Business Consultation, because I had my own private practice and I saw the need. And I'm like, I'm not the only one getting burnout. I'm not the only one that doesn't have the business knowledge. So I've spent the last 4 years doing the tax, the legal, the all the not so fun stuff, the real estate strategies, the business structures, because I see the value in it. I see that as, honestly, when I look at the big vision and system of midwifery, it's the Achilles heel. If we can't professionally negotiate with collaborating doctors, we can't show our value, whether we're employed by a hospital, if we can't do this side of midwifery, it's going to crumble in today's healthcare system. So I'm very passionate, as you know. So I'm very excited. We're going to do all the not so fun stuff, but hopefully make it fun. Like, I've got some fun games planned I didn't even tell you about yet, Christine.
No, so, that's great.
Yeah, because the whole point, like, I follow Mark Kohler. He's a lawyer accountant. And if you think that's a boring subject, it's the person presenting it. It's the stories, it's the engagement, it's the enthusiasm. Like, to see somebody so excited about tax and legal and make fun tax and legal.
Yeah, we're like, crazy. Okay.
Yeah. But because he tells cool stories. I mean, when you can see the impact, like, so I could go on and on about the business side, but I'm very excited. Yes, we'll have a great conference this fall. So for the Carolina Birth Junkies, you guys have expanded. You're still doing home births. You still are a mom. Like, how do you balance it all?
You know, it is, balance is absolutely the biggest challenge, I think, for any midwife. It's especially, I feel like, a challenge for me right now, because I'm at the point in my career where I'm kind of transitioning to doing more education. I have a midwifery school, and then that, and with Birth Junkies, and a lot of the, you know, it's a challenge in the Southeast, particularly with midwifery legislation and regulation, and trying to get that all straightened out. It's really difficult for us in our area. So trying to do all that and then balance it with, like, I still want to catch babies, and people are still having babies that, you know, I've attended. And so it's a little bit about, you know, having boundaries, and it's difficult. But also the other thing I think is coming into play more, that I'm just understanding more, is collaborating with other midwives and working in more of a, like a collaborative, even an almost not quite a group practice setting, but that might work for some
community,
people. But
just a community, just referral, yes. A community. Yes. I was very blessed in my midwifery clinicals just to see what I would love to see across the country. I mean, to have 8-12 midwives in a radius where they would take, okay, I'm going to be, we all knew this midwife was in that area because you took care of a lot of Amish Mennonites. You did all these home visits, and if they needed to be seen, you had a mutual relationship among everybody, kind of a flat rate for fees, flat rate for collaboration. And you just would call up and be like, hey, I know you're on the road in that area. Do you mind going to see so-and-so for me? This is what's going on. Yes. And like, it would take off so much stress for everybody. We'd cover each other for vacations. It was so lovely. Like, cause like when you gave an example before we started recording, like driving a far distance for somebody when you're like, okay, I love this lady, but I also know the other midwives drive to that distance. Like, I'll do her birth, I'm going to do her first visit, but I know this other midwife's going to be in town on that day. She'll go to her next visit. Like, we need to leverage each other. And I think there's too much scarcity and fear among midwives that we look at that 2% of the population. There's not many women choosing home births. There's not that many. It's so hard. There's too many barriers. And I'm like, there are so many women out there to serve. If you can market and show your value, and I'm more worried about the burnout and you getting too busy too fast than I am about you not having enough clients.
Right. And I think that's a mind shift that I really hope happened, because so many, and I'm trying to talk to this a lot about this subject a lot with with midwifery groups and so forth is, you know, we keep ourselves small when we're being really possessive and we're like, oh yeah, I'll take an apprentice, but she's got to move away and work somewhere else.
Non-compete clause. And I've got to have clear expectation. Yeah. You're not taking these ladies after we're done. And I'm like, oh gosh.
You know, if the idea is get more people, you know, get more people into midwifery care, you have to have more midwives. Right.
Yeah, you want so cultural diversity. Like if she wants to go with your apprentice afterwards, you guys weren't going to fit, like compatibility, yeah. Culture. Like there's so many women out there to serve, like, awesome. Great. I helped her get started. Like it's that there's a lot of psychology around scarcity versus abundance. Like how do we look at things half empty, half full? Like it's the exact same glass of water, but how are you looking at it? And I think that's really important for midwifery. And I'm sure you do a lot of it with your education, the positivity, the empowerment, the opportunities, like getting creative. When we put these mental hurdles on ourselves, how do we break through it? Finding the right resources, finding the right inspiration, whatever it is. But yeah, I think that's what we need more than anything in today's midwifery environment is hope and inspiration that we are feisty ladies, but there's a lot of them are just on the brink of like, I can't do this much longer. And right. How do we support? I think we're in this very unique crutch of either we're going to flourish and go to the next level and we're going to adapt, or we're going to crumble because now there's not midwives training and it's just there's so much burnout happening. Like I feel it on a country level, and so I'm trying to figure out, like, I can only meet one-on-one with people, and so making these support groups and making these classes, do you do everything online, or is there or in person, or is there any online resources to the masses for your company?
Almost everything is in person, though we do have some, we're trying to shift a little bit into, and this is kind of tied into my work with Ancient Art Midwifery, who I teach with, to try to get more things available online, to have more things recorded, because, you know, not everybody can travel to Charlotte to do a workshop, but if it's available online, then at least, you know, they can have that option, because a fair bit of it, you can get a lot out of.
Well, and you can hybrid it. Like I know even like CPR and a lot of these national certifications, NRP, you do part of it online, you bring your certification, and then you do the hands-on portion. That's what we've done for the ultrasound training this fall is like, okay, you've got a good chunk online, learn, bring the certificate, come with your questions. We're going to focus on the hands-on, the machine, the care. So yeah, if you had somebody saying, okay, I'm willing, I've just done a suturing training, I've just done all these emergency trainings online, but now I'm going to go for a full day and just hands-on, boom, boom, boom. They're going to be more willing to come into town for 8 hours if it's just a ton of hands-on skills.
Right, right. Yeah. So, and I, that is my thing. I love teaching skills. I really do. I'm total skills nerd. I want to do the, you know, get the pelvis and the fake baby. And that's, I'm all about that. And usually twice a year, I teach a skills lab, like a whole weekend of skills for ancient art. And I love that. I just nerd out 100% on that. So, and I would love to, you know, take that on the road.
You and I, after the recording, will definitely have to talk, because I am making a roadshow of skills for next year that we're in the room. Yeah. So we'll talk about that. I'm very excited for the project. Nobody knows much about it. So yeah, it's kind of a little teaser to everybody, but great. You and I, after we're done recording, we'll definitely have to talk. So, how long have you been a midwife total so far?
So it involves math.
Yeah.
13 years?
13 years? When you've been doing it so long, it's kind of like when you get to your age, I'm too old to tell you, like, that's how it should be with midwifery.
Or people be like, how many babies have you caught? I was like, this month, like ever? I don't know.
And it's always interesting to me, because I'm like, does that really show they're safe or unsafe? Like, that's like asking a grandma, how many years have you been driving? You don't ask how many car accidents they've been in. We don't ask the right questions.
Totally true.
So I'm very excited. So what advice would you give? Because I'm a huge advocate of aspiring midwives, ones thinking about starting their practice. What advice you learned the hard way, or really great gems you would love to pass on?
You know, I think, and maybe just because this is on my mind a lot, but I would say, get in there and do the skills and do the training. I think again, you know, kind of the idea of holding ourselves back, like, we're like, oh, I'm not comfortable with that. So I'm not going to learn that. Or like, I'm not going to do that in my practice. So I'm not going to learn about that. And I just think just learn everything. And you might to discover that actually you really do want to help feedback moms. Like maybe that's your calling and that sort of thing. And the other thing is, have a relationship with other midwives and other students and pass on that knowledge, right? So, you know, even if you're still a student, mentor someone just starting out or someone who's a doula and, you know, kind of help bring them into the world.
Yeah. Sometimes we always think we're the bottom rung, but then we're like, there is always somebody. And we have a little more knowledge and skills. Like we're a little ahead of the game of somebody else that needs
somebody.
Our help.
There's somebody out there that knows less than us. But, you know, I think that's really, like you were talking about, really going to help sustain midwifery is working together and helping bring people up. You know, like we all want to retire someday. I know I do. And I want to have great people around me that I can be like, so I'm done. Yeah. However, I've trained these great people and I know they're great.
Yeah.
And I'm so excited to tell you about them.
Yeah. Right? Well, and it's the difference between, I stress a lot, the basics of just self-employed versus a business owner. Self-employment is exhausting. You are directly exchanging your time for money. We only have so many hours. When you're on call 24/7 for birth, you have to set boundaries. You have to have systems. So a lot of what we talk about is setting that foundation up for business ownership systems. You're still catching babies, but if you all of a sudden want a vacation, that system's still going to run whether you're there or not. Like that's the goal I want to, because then if you say, well, I want to retire, maybe you want to taper back. Maybe you just want to be on call once a month on the team. Like you can decide what level of involvement with your practice you want to be versus I've just got to close my doors or I got to open and work my butt off. Like there's no middle ground that I hear. It's
Yeah, exactly. And I think we'd have more midwives and more midwives that were happy about midwifery and not burnt out. If we were like, hey, you know, you have little kids, you don't have to do this full time. You don't have to be, you know, you don't have to be on call.
Or you want to do a little more of the office. Like maybe you'll do some GYN care in the office. You're part of our team. You just had a baby. You don't want to be on birth call as much. Like having like, it's always that balancing act. You don't want a mannequin assembly line. So you're making where you're still giving good quality. You're still making it very personalized in the forefront, but then you've got cushions of systems in the backdrops that maybe the patients, their clients don't know about, like backup collaborating midwives and your backup doctors, like you're creating all these systems in the backdrops that are just improving that forefront central care. The other thing, when you were talking, just that skill set, what's elective, what's essential to know? Because I think people get a little confused, like, oh, ultrasound training. I don't want to directly do ultrasounds. I'm like, are your ladies going to get new fetal anatomy scans? Are you going to be explaining and educating those radiology reports to them? If you're not, and that's strictly going to be a doctor or someone on your team, but most midwives have some involvement and need some understanding of ultrasounds, even if they're not going to directly do it in their practice. Or like, what's an essential skill? Like these emergency skills, we don't do shoulder dystocia, postpartum hemorrhage, newborn resuscitations a lot because we have normal, healthy ladies, but you still need to be accountable to keep up your skill set and training that if it's 2 a.m, you're tired and exhausted, it's like the back of your hand.
Right.
So yeah, right. I hear you. I am a huge fan of giving good quality education, being accountable for ourselves of what's essential, how often we should review this. Because it is, I think we get an autopilot when we get busy and we're like, I'm taking care of ladies. And I'm like, there's so much in the backdrops we could do for ourselves. We could do for our practice if it's set up a little different.
Yes.
Any other great advice or anything else that I know we talked about so many wonderful things today. Thank you for being on, Christine.
Yeah, thanks. It's fun. You know, I could talk all day about all of this.
So I guess my question is, what is the best email or website or communication we can send people to if they have questions for you?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I have a website for my practice and it also has information about school on there too. Purebirthmidwifery.com.
Perfect.
And you can contact me through that website as well. There's a contact page. And so that will have also, and then the CarolinaBirthJunkies.com. has all of our listings for educational opportunities, including we'll have the business workshop up on there soon. and all information about the MANA conference. So all of our upcoming events are all listed on there, and you can register through that website as well.
Excellent. Excellent. Well, I'm excited. I'm so grateful you reached out to me. And that's part of those relationships. Like you said, if you just, everybody tries to do it, like you're working on similar things than I am. Why are we both like, people need to figure out we're going to build 10 times more with combining our resources than all of us just doing our own thing. So thank you so much for everything you've been doing, Christine. And thank you, Leslie. Forward to growing our relationship.
Sounds wonderful. Thank you.
Have a good day.
You too.